Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to Urban Media Today, talking sports. I'm Alan, the big guy, joined by my colleagues from Urban Media Today, Ray Jr., and Vince, our photographer and producer of sports. This is our weekly podcast, and we'd love you to join us by emailing us at editor@urbanmediatoday.com or follow us on Twitter at Urban Media Ray, at Butts Vince 2, and at UMT Updates. With that, I turn it over to my colleague, Ray Jr.
Alan, a week after embarrassing themselves against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Pittsburgh Steelers got their heads on straight against the 5-0 KC Chiefs and won 19-13. I honestly believe that if the Steelers played team ball, then they would get it done, which they were able to do when they established a run game, which was led by Le'Veon Bell, who shredded KC's defense with 179 yards rushing and a touchdown. It's the second consecutive time that Bell has rushed for at least 170 yards versus Kansas City. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger looked better in this game as well, after throwing 5 interceptions against the Jaguars. Against Kansas City, he passed for 252 yards, a TD, and an interception. Some of his passes were still a bit off target, especially the one intended for Antonio Brown that was tipped by a KC player. But actually, it ended up in Brown's hands as he caught it and then raced 51 yards for the score. But Big Ben managed the game well, and his passing game should not have to win every game for this team. But you notice that there isn't any talk about Big Ben retiring now, is there? Winning cures everything. The Steelers' defense also stood tall as they shut out Kansas City for 3 quarters before giving up a late score. They sacked Alex Smith 3 times and kept the pressure on him all game. But the most impressive defensive stat, in my opinion, was their ability to shut down rookie running back Kareem Hunt, as he was only limited to 27 yards on only 7 carries. That's a vast improvement after giving up 181 yards to rookie Leonard Fournette a week ago. I honestly believe that this was the best performance by the defense thus far. I also like the fact that 39-year-old linebacker James Harrison played. After missing 3 games, he dressed and got a key sack, was forced 4th down late in the fourth quarter. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin said that he wanted to preserve Harrison for times like this, making him the team's defensive closer, which I don't have a problem with. But he can only do that if he's in uniform, not in sweats. Why sign the man if you're not going to play him? He'll always deserve a hat over Anthony Ciccolo and Arthur Motes, in my opinion. Now the Steelers will return home and face AFC North divisional rival Cincinnati on Sunday. After an 0-3 start, the Bengals are now 2-3 and are looking for more. The key to this game won't be just what happens on the scoreboard, but also regarding the behavior of Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who also tends to self-destruct against the Steelers, and when he does that, he takes his team with him. I think the Steelers can win this game, provided they continue to establish the run, and the defense puts pressure on quarterback Andy Dalton. The Steelers' pass defense is ranked number 1 in the NFL. I mean, if the NFL said so. Therefore, I think stats are irrelevant, because I don't think this unit is ranked number 1, especially after watching the Jaguars' defensive backs get it done against the Steelers a week ago. But apparently the unit of Joe Hayden, Artie Burns, Mike Mitchell, and Sean Davis is looking pretty good right now. Apparently the reports of wide receiver Martavis Bryant's trade requests have been greatly exaggerated, as head coach Mike Tomlin quickly dismissed ESPN Ian Rappaport's claims on Sunday that the once suspended receiver wanted out of Pittsburgh. Bryant also dismissed this report, as did Big Ben and Steelers guard Ramon Foster. It was sad to see Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers break his collarbone against Minnesota Sunday. Rodgers broke his collarbone in 2013 as well, and he ended up missing 7 games. After he had surgery Monday, it is not known how many games he may miss this season. Anyway, we all know that this will be a different Packers team the next few weeks, as backup Brett Hundley will be the starter. This basically will squash any possible rumors that they may be looking at Colin Kaepernick. Apparently, the battle of Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott's status continues, as he was granted a temporary restraining order by the players' union, blocking the 6-game suspension that the NFL slapped upon him prior to the start of this season. Events like this can truly be a distraction to the team, but I'm sure the Cowboys are glad to have Elliott there on Sunday. Speaking of the Steelers, after suffering another loss Saturday, Pitt must now shake it off and get ready to travel to Duke to play the Blue Devils. What a difference a year makes. Last year's team would have beaten North Carolina State, Georgia Tech, and dare I say it, Penn State. But this year's team just isn't talented enough to get it done. It hurts that they don't have a true running game after the departure of James Conner. Now, I honestly thought that Quadri Allison would get it done, but he isn't even listed as a starter, but will split carries with Darren Hall. I would like to see more freshman A.J. Davis, who scored his first collegiate TD in the opener against Youngstown State. Like the Steelers, I think the Panthers need to reestablish the running game and balance using safety Jordan Whitehead so much. After all, he is a defensive player, and he is needed there. This isn't high school, so there's a reason why there isn't many two-way players in college. The offensive line is truly missing Dorian Johnson and Adam Bisnoeder, but it's also an understatement that quarterback Nate Peterman's absence is as big as the ozone layer. Max Brown, now injured, and Ben DiNucci haven't been able to fill that hole. But freshman Kenny Pickett, whose red shirt was burned when Brown was injured, had some impressive moments versus North Carolina State, in my opinion, so I think he should get more looks. The defense, on the other hand, is still a liability and desperately needs work. To be honest, folks thought that this unit would instantly improve with the arrival of Narduzzi, but since he doesn't have a magic wand, it will take some time before this unit gets better. And we haven't even seen prospect Paris Ford take the field because of academic issues. Pitt fans will need to stay patient with this defense. The Duquesne Dukes are looking pretty good, currently in first place in the Northeast Division. On Saturday, they destroyed fellow local team Robert Morris 51-14. The Colonials are currently 2-4. As for Duquesne, could they make a stand in the FCS subdivision competition? I would like to see what they could do against Youngstown State and other top teams. And this could possibly open up a door for them to play Pitt, which I would love.
Thanks, Ray Jr. And now we go to Vince and his thoughts on sports.
Two great matchups on opening night of the 2017-2018 NBA season occurred. First game of the night featured the Boston Celtics with a starting lineup completely different compared to last season, with the only exception being Al Horford. Gone are Avery Bradley, Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, and Isaiah Thomas, the latter two traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Kyrie Irving. Cleveland also sported a new lineup featuring Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, and the aforementioned Jay Crowder joining Kevin Love and LeBron James in the starting lineup. Unfortunately for the Celtics, their prize free agent pickup, Gordon Hayward, suffered a gruesome ankle injury just 5 minutes into the game. It appears Hayward will miss the entire season, and hopefully he makes a full and complete recovery. The Cavs appeared to be in control for most of the game, being up by as many as 16 points. Foot off the gas pedal or showing a grittiness to overcome, whichever you choose, Boston made a comeback attempt and were up two midway through the fourth quarter, until the Cavs clamped down on defense and pulled out the thriller 102-99. The biggest story in the second NBA game, the NBA champion Golden State Warriors collected their championship rings, with the Rockets holding on to a 122-121 win despite Chris Paul not being able to finish the game. Eric Gordon filled in admirably, scoring 24 points, while the Beard ran the show for 27 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. Paul did manage to dish out 11 assists with 8 rebounds and 4 points in 33 minutes. I'm not sure what they feed players in Golden State, but Nick Young was out of this world with 6 threes and 23 points. The Rockets escaped with the victory when Kevin Durant's last-second bucket came after the buzzer. Finishing up in the NBA, we move on to college football. Alabama, the number one in AP and USA Today, show no signs of slowing down. Their toughest game in the upcoming weeks will be Auburn, and they lost to LSU 27-23 after leading for a good portion of that game. Penn State moves to number two with a 37 win over Northwestern. They faced their toughest stretch of the season with a home game against Michigan and then at Ohio State and Michigan State. To me, they'll claim a spot in the CFB playoffs if they can survive that tough stretch. Number three, Georgia. If they can get past Auburn on November 11th, they can secure themselves a spot in the CFB playoffs, barring something catastrophic. Number four, TSU, has a couple of tough games, Oklahoma and Texas Tech. And number five, Wisconsin, doesn't have another tough game until November 11th against Michigan. And the last of the unbeaten is number eight, Miami. To me, they're not showing how strong they really are. They still face Syracuse this week, Virginia Tech in 2 weeks, and Notre Dame after that. The saving grace for them will be all three games will be at home, but they must win and leapfrog one-loss teams like Ohio State and Clemson if they have any shot of getting to the playoffs. Moving on to college basketball, while North Carolina was able to skirt any sanctions by the NCAA, there still is a dark cloud over their program. There will continue to be debates surrounding the Houdini Act performed by the Tar Heels relating to academic fraud. ADs and university presidents across the country may have to take a long look at the inner workings of their programs to ensure the highest level of academic integrity is maintained and upheld. I wonder if at some point colleges and universities will be asked to maintain a certain level of transparency.
Thanks, Vince. My top stories this week are NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said players should stand for the anthem. Now, Roger made a statement this week that they were asking all the players to stand for the anthem. Personally, I think the players are grown men and they should make their own decision. So, Roger, pay attention to your players for a change. The other top story I wanted to mention was good news in the NFL, and that was Chris Long announced that he is giving every game check this season to charity. Chris and his wife have donated this year's salary to Betterment of Education. Chris is from Charlottesville, Virginia. He was born and raised there and attended the University of Virginia. And after 10 years in the NFL league, he firmly believes that giving back to the community will help make that community a better place and also the country a better place. He said, if you listen to people who tell you to stick to sports, I would ask them, do you stick to whatever your occupation is? Long said in August via Yahoo.com, people always want to hear from athletes when they agree with them. When we voice a dissenting opinion, they have an issue with it. I think that athletes are role models. We should think about what we're saying and then speak, and speak wisely. Kudos to you, Chris Long. I'm behind you 100%. I wish my wife would let me write a check. Today, as always in our podcast, we're going to discuss a few broad-based sports topics. This topic today that has been heavy on my heart is the NFL and the kneeling that has been taking place. In the real true meaning of it, Vince?
NFL players should be able to kneel, should be able to demonstrate the causes they believe in. I feel like the owners are doing an effective job of exerting their power and their will. I think that the NBA has it right by letting players sort of show, you know, what things they believe in without causing disruption with the game. And I think that can happen in the NFL. I also feel that, you know, the message is being lost along the way. And I feel like we need to get back to the real reasons why players are taking some sort of stands. The truth is, when no one feels the wave that protest calls, then the true meanings aren't being seen. So I do believe that all the discussion that's going on is in some way helping, but I think we're just moving a little too far from the original reason why NFL players are kneeling in the first place.
I also agree, Vince, with you that players should be allowed to kneel. They should be allowed to express their concerns for what's going on in society. Going back to what Alan said about Mr. Long and what he said about it's okay for sports players to care about what's going on in life and it's not just sticking to their profession. This shows that these players and these athletes are human, they care, they're concerned about the community, and they're expressing their viewpoints on it. The problem that with society is when they want to limit it to an action without choosing to get an understanding of what's going on. And it also just gives me an indication that folks would rather settle for ignorance for what's happening instead of digging deeper. I honestly believe that despite the fact that Goodell has this ruling that players must stand, players are going to find a way to get around it. Some may not come out of the locker room, but there will be ways that they're going to still be able to express their freedoms and concerns on what's going on, and I encourage them to continue to do so because they have every right.
So the NFL and the kneeling, we, as they say in politics, full throat endorse them continuing to do their kneel and their protest, because the protest was about how African Americans were being treated in this country by the police and people of authority. Our president, number 45, as I like to call him, has made this an issue about the flag, and it's not an issue about the flag. It's an issue about how African Americans are treated in the society as a whole, and particularly when it comes to police brutality. So NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, carry on. We need you more than ever now. Our next topic is about baseball in the African American community. I have some real hard thoughts about that because growing up as a young man, I remember watching Hank Aaron on TV, Willie Mays on TV, Willie McCovey, Willie Stargell, some of the great African-American ball players of my youth. And in today's baseball, there doesn't seem to be any major African-American stars. And I wonder what happened to the sport and what has changed that for young African-Americans to get involved in the sport. Has it been that we've become more involved with basketball, football, other sports? I don't think so. I think that Major League Baseball turned its back on the African-American community years ago, and now they're reaping the harvest for it. Even now, in the midst of the playoffs, there's less and less attention being paid to it in the African-American community, particularly in the African-American press and media. So I think that if baseball really wants to begin to re-identify itself with the African-American community and get more young people to participate, they need to get more involved in our community and what is happening. Vince?
There's a perception among young people that baseball is not as exciting. I mean, I grew up a baseball fan. I played baseball in high school, so I understand the excitement, that surrounds baseball, the strategy. But I think that you don't see baseball as being that exciting. I mean, I grew up watching shortstop Ozzie Smith running out doing the somersaults. You know, that was exciting. You know, and then during the game, you know, make a play, throwing off his butt, throwing off his knees, you know, rolling around. And I think those plays are still there, but I think that kids aren't seeing that. The other thing I think is young people are attracted to the money of basketball and football, not really understanding that baseball, you can play until you're 40 and make a nice living. And I understand that that shouldn't be the motivation, but I do think it could be a determining factor, you know, deciding to play baseball as kids and moving on, trying to make it a professional career.
You know, this is definitely an interesting point, interesting topic. I mean, when I began watching baseball, it was right after the Pirates won the 79 World Series. And I remember seeing it. I remember seeing them celebrate at 7 years old. And when I really got into it the following year, even as a youngster, I began to notice just how many African-Americans were on the team and just how the image and the character of Willie Stargell stood tall. And then Dave Parker, which was my mother's favorite player, I couldn't stop hearing about him. And then Omar Miranda was my favorite Pirate. And I pirated myself after him by stealing bases when I used to be at Speedster back when I was younger. But as the years went on, and I also played Little League ball, and I played a little bit of Pony League, you could also see the level of participation and interest of African Americans really get less and less over the years. And I'm talking about the 80s. Then you can see less and less in the 90s. I remember in Ebony magazine, they used to give a list of all the African American players. I remember that. Some of them had two, some of them had three, some of them had six, because obviously we wouldn't include the Hispanic players in that group. So it is a serious issue. Now, some folks may have thought that it was supposed to get better, but, you know, you can't really fix a problem unless you identify it. They've even tried to have different programs called RBI, I believe, and just other attempts to reach out to communities. I've remembered the Pirates over the years. McClatchy, he tried to do that and others as well. But obviously, it's still work to be done. So I'm hoping that Major League Baseball sees this as a serious matter and does what it takes to reach out. And as far as others, yeah, baseball can be very lucrative, as Vince said. The contracts are guaranteed. And that's why my wife always says, if our son was to play any sport, let it be baseball, just for that reason. So, you know, you want that, you want to see diversity in sports.
So now we move to the NFL picks for this weekend, and we're so excited for the three games that we have coming up. And I'm going to let Vince lead us off with his pick for the Steeler bingo game.
This is an easy pick for me. As much as I hate the Steelers, Steelers over the Bengals, 34-10. I don't think the Bengals and Andy Dalton are very good right now. I think the way that the Steeler defense is playing, I think they're going to wreak havoc on Andy Dalton and the Bengals offense. The only hope for the Bengals, if they can get out to a lead early, be able to run the ball, that might save them. But I don't see that happening this weekend. Again, Steelers over the Bengals, 34-10.
I believe that the Steelers will also win on Sunday. I'll give them a 27-10 victory. I would love to see this team continue to score points. although I believe that the victory matters no matter if you win the game 3-0. But the Steelers' offense is still getting themselves together. So I'm hoping that they just, as I mentioned, just establish the run. Establish the run. Le'Veon Bell has done well against Cincinnati. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. And then Roethlisberger picks his spots when it comes to throwing the ball, getting it to Brown, obviously, but then also spreading it over to Eli Rogers and to Martavis Bryant as well. So I believe that they will not have any problems. Just take advantage of the opportunities in the red zone, not have Chris Boswell score all the points for them. And as for defense, put that pressure on Andy Dalton. Makes his life miserable. Keep him from getting the ball to A.J. Green, because he's pretty much the lone stalwart on that team that can still make plays. And I believe that the Steelers will be 5-2 come Monday.
And my pick for Sunday's game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, 24-17 Pittsburgh. Our next pick is Atlanta versus New England. I think New England will win 28-21. And New England, I think, is turning the corner and will begin to score. Everybody seems to score a little bit against Atlanta. So I'm looking forward to that game. Vince?
I think Atlanta will avenge that Super Bowl loss. I think they have an axe to grind with the Patriots. I think they want to prove that they are a better team. So I see the Falcons winning 35-21. I see New England struggling a little bit to score. They did last week against the Jets, even though they came back and won.
I believe that the Falcons will also prevail 31-24 over the Patriots, also because of the fact that they will label it as an unfinished business game. In that Super Bowl, they should have won the game. They simply admitted that they ran out of gas and allowed the Patriots to come back. So the Falcons are now looking for redemption. Now, this will obviously be a hollow victory of sorts, because it won't really mean anything except for what will happen in the standings. But a win is a win nonetheless. I believe that teams are believing and seeing that they can exploit the Patriots' defense. But the key to it all is, When you put the pedal to the metal against the Patriots, you can't let up. Is it not right, New York Jets? Is it not right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You can't let up against this team, because the sleeping giant and Tom Brady will eventually waken, and he will find that giant tight end known as Rob Gronkowski. So I believe that Matt Ryan and company will do what they should have done. The Patriots will be the team that's going to lose this game, and the Falcons will win in Foxborough.
And our final pick for this weekend, Philadelphia versus Washington. I like the Eagles 24-17 over the Skins, because I just don't trust the Skins. I think the Eagles have a better team overall, and I think their defense will be able to stand up against anything that the Redskins might give us.
I agree. I think that the Eagles are at home. I think they're going to be dominant. Carson Wentz is coming into his own as an elite quarterback, and I think he's looking to establish himself in that category. I see the Eagles winning 27-13.
This matchup reminds me of the old 1980s rivalry matchups with Buddy Ryan versus Joe Gibbs in the Eagles defense and the Redskins offense. I also believe that the Eagles are going to win this game too. I mean, something about them this season, for them to have the chance to start 6-1 this weekend, is pretty huge, because they haven't been this good in a long time. Looks like their defense is together. And their offense is good. You can give Carson Wentz the credit, but I also point fingers at LeGarrette Blount. He's been very underrated as a running back so far. And he's played in committees with Pittsburgh and committees with New England. But now he is the lone man, and he is doing some damage to defenses. So I believe if the Eagles do kind of like what Pittsburgh should do, it's just commit to the run and get their defense going and allow Carson Wentz to manage the game and use all his weapons, they'll get it done against what is called the NFL's number one ranked defense so far. Washington is good, but not good enough to beat Philly this weekend. 17-10 will be my score in a black and blue battle.
And for our final thoughts for the night, Vince, what's your final thought for the night?
I love sports. Sports is my release from the daily grind of life. I love everything about sports. I love the competition, the strategy, camaraderie. What amazes me is how sports teaches us so many things, like how to fight adversity, whether on the field of battle or in our personal lives. I live for the idea that a group of individuals can come together to achieve a common goal. Champions speak of the sacrifices made along the journey, lifting one another up along the way. Sportsmanship, congratulating your opponent even in defeat on a job well done, and telling yourself that you need to work a little bit harder to put yourself in their position next time. Knowing that the underdog might not have a great chance, but rooting for them because they have a chance. Athletes overcome language barriers, social economic barriers, and physical disparities to find a way to rise up. It's a shame that in those ways, unity of sports doesn't mirror life. Think about the millions that come together on Sunday afternoons to cheer on their favorite teams and then walk their separate ways when the games are over, not even considering to unite for a different type of championship, equality.
Thanks, Vince. Right.
I love this time of year when it comes to the sporting world because pretty much every sport is playing. I mean, you have the NFL, you have Major League Baseball concluding, you have the NHL beginning, you have college football going on, you have college basketball in about 4 weeks. So this is a perfect time for every sports fan in America and pretty much this world. I'm grateful for the level of competition and that it provides the sense of entertainment because it provides diversion. And it's nice to see all type of persons in this country, in this world, come together to watch their favorite team.
Thanks, Ray. I wish that sports today were a little bit more like Little League was years ago. It was more about fun, new friends, and hopefully a trip to the Dairy Queen. Today's sports are all about money, from midget sports to professional sports. There's sponsorship money, which has the largest voice in what's happening in the game. Sports in our country is controlled by wealthy white men. They have no more understanding of young people from the lower economic world than 45 does. I've enjoyed sports most of my life as a clear escape from the hard choices one must make in life. Sports has given me an education, a chance to make money, and a chance to give back to my community. I hope that we can find a balance of enjoyment of sports again from an early age until our final days. For me, I want to follow sports and occasionally play, or at least watch my grandson play. Thank you for joining us. Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Email us at editor@urbanmediatoday.com.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?